You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Hey, Dave and Rose. Sorry I couldn't make it this week for this awesome topic of montages from movies. I remember when we came up with this idea, I was very excited about it. I was bummed to have missed the recording, but I have my list for you. So I am going to start by saying I think that the 80s were probably the highlight of all these music montages. I don't remember too many going on in the 70s, and I don't recall too many in the 90s either, but I don't know my 90s movies as well as I do my 80s movies. I know that 80s movies were riddled with these types of parts of a movie that are set to music, and it's almost like, kind of reminds me of time-lapse photography. They're trying to condense scenes down into 3 minutes so that you can get more of a storyline, and it's a great way to do it, and it's really fun. So I'm going to give you my list of my top three montages. So I'm going to say that the first one is in one of my all-time favorite movies, as is one of your all-time favorite movies, kind of inspired Dave to start a podcast in the first place, and that would be from The Breakfast Club. The song by Carla DeVito called We Are Not Alone, and it is the dance scene when they are going all over the place in the library, dancing everywhere, and just getting crazy and having a lot of fun. And the song goes great with it. You know, I don't remember the song being a radio hit or anything like that at the time, and just always been one of my favorite scenes of the movie. It's just fun to watch them getting crazy, especially when Andrew at the end finally screams and breaks the glass of one of the doors. Funny. Anyway, moving on to my next one. This one is, we haven't really talked about this movie much as far as like 80s stuff goes. Revenge of the Nerds, when they're fixing up the house that they bought for their fraternity, the Lambda Lambda Lambda. And the song is One Foot in Front of the Other by Bone Symphony. And this one, kind of, it makes me think of a lot of other montages that are set up like that, where there's something, a mission that needs to be accomplished, like you know, the fixing up of a house or fixing up of a boat or something like that. Like in I can't remember which boat it was. I think it was Summer Rental. I think they fixed up a boat and did a little music montage. And these things are amazing how much they were used in the 80s. A lot of fun though. And then, you know, seeing all the nerds work together and build this house, and or not build the house, but fix up this old just wreck of a house. Now, my third one is the toughest to pick because I'm picking something from Rocky, and I think I'm going to go with No Easy Way Out from Rocky IV after, you know, after Apollo Creed gets killed by Drago. And he has all these Rocky has these flashback moments of all the moments of his career, and you know, when Mick died and now Apollo dies, and they just losing several times and being knocked out, and so it's just, that one was the best, my personal favorite of the Rockies. Now Rocky is like the baseline for music montages, because every Rocky movie has like two different montages in it. Like Rocky IV also had one when he went into Russia and started training to beat Drago there, and I can't remember the name of the song right now. I had it before. And then of course in Rocky III was the Eye of the Tiger, which was just great. You know, when he's about to fight Clubber Lang. And that was just, you know, the Eye of the Tiger. Now, that was a heavy, heavy radio and MTV rotation. So you heard that everywhere you went. You always knew Survivor, Eye of the Tiger. But my favorite one is No Easy Way Out by Robert Tepper. And it is a great, great song to set to Rocky. I think the message in the lyrics are awesome. But back to Rocky. Rocky has just had so many great, great music montages in them. So that is all I have to say about the music. No, you know what? I want to add one more. Now, I was trying to find it. I'll say this is kind of an honorable mention, was Red Dawn. Now, it wasn't a music, like it wasn't a song that you would hear on the radio. It was just kind of the score that was set behind it. But they did a score music montage when the pilot had crashed and he joined their little, you know, clan of Wolverines, and they set into motion a plan of going and hitting all these different locations of the Russians and the Cubans, and it was just a really good montage, even though it wasn't set to like a poppy music song, because it's not really an uplifting movie anyway. It was kind of, you know, it was very serious drama. So Red Dawn, and then let me see, another honorable mention just in case was, nope, that's it. That's all I got for today. So hopefully I can make it for a recording this week, this coming week. I don't know what our topic will be, but I look forward to talking to you guys again. Sorry I missed last week.
Once I put minimal effort into finding, I just have a really good memory for music stuff. So this one was kind of easy.
Okay.
I did cheat a little bit, and I went on YouTubes to find some other good ideas, because I thought, okay, well, I want to have some honorable mentions. And I found out Scott wasn't going to be there. I was like, oh, man, I better grab some more just in case. Because he would have had some good ones.
I'm sure he would have.
Him and his, I'm in another time zone because I live in Florida.
Yeah.
What the hell? Really?
My thought, what I did was I picked three, but I have an honorable mention. And I gave myself the opportunity just in case, you know, like, one of the ones was taken, then I could, you know, I'd have a backup.
I did that too.
Yeah.
And I specifically picked one that I knew you would probably pick, just to say I did.
All right. Well, we're gonna see how that works out then. Hopefully, we'll do that.
And if you didn't pick it, I'm giving you big time shit on that one.
Ooh. I'm wondering.
You're wondering.
Yeah, I'm wondering, montage that I didn't pick. All right, we'll see where we go with that. Because mine are, I don't know. I don't know if I've really given a lot of love to the ones that I have on my list right here. So I might be getting in trouble from you. We'll see.
That'd be great.
All right. I just want to make sure I'm recording. Of course I am. Good. That's always important.
Always.
Always got to verify that.
This is 80-something podcast.
I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
It to each other. And party on, dudes!
Alright, this is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave. Online, I've got Rose.
Hey guys, how's it going?
We don't have Scott on because he felt a little bit under the weather, so he took a pass today. So you're not going to get his insightful input into our topic. And the topic is our favorite retro montage scenes / music from the movies. Earlier, we were shooting messages back and forth as we do before the shows, and I said pre-year 2000. But as I've compiled my list, I realized that I did not go off the 80s. So mine are all in the 80s. What about you, Rose?
Yep, totally 80s.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just got to be an 80s topic, I think. You know, I was going to build this as a flip side episode, but we can almost get away with just, you know, having, you know, it classified as an 80s, you know, numbered episode. So it'll probably go down to when I'm editing it, which bumper I want to use.
Yep.
So, but I think, you know, I mean, 80s montages were just the thing, and they were so iconic.
Yep.
So iconic, and you think of these songs, and I don't know if you're like me, but now that when you hear these songs after the fact, you're always thinking of that scene of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these songs that I have on my list, they didn't really get a lot of airplay outside of that, or they didn't really became popular until they were in that movie, and then now they became a thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, to me, you know, when I'm going to be talking about my picks, I mean, I'm remembering more around what was going on at that particular part of the movie more so than the song. So what was your approach to this topic?
One song popped into my head, and I thought, you know, everybody's going to pick that one, you know, because this is the time, and I thought Scott was still involved in the show today, and I thought, I don't care, I'm still going to add it. And then I thought, I vaguely remembered the scene. And it's funny how you mentioned this is that personified the scene, and you barely remember the song, but mine was the other way around. I remember the song, and I had to go back and see what scene it was so I could explain why I liked it.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's funny. Yeah, it's very interesting. Different train of thought there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is also supposed to be kind of a collaboration topic with what before was the 80s League, but now we've kind of redubbed ourselves. Just Retro Club. So I don't know who's going to be playing with that topic on their blogs, but we have just a whole list of people that we contribute with and we share stuff with. So I'm going to give them shout outs right now just because they might be playing along with this topic, but even if they aren't, I think that you should go out there and check out their social media and check out their what they offer, because they're all doing really awesome, cool retro shit. And I think you should just be checking them out and following them, much like you're doing with us.
Absolutely. And a lot of these people are like mega super dedicated to what they're doing. Their intensity on how they delve into retro topics and the things that power them as human beings just is phenomenal. I can't even say I have that much dedication to waking up in the morning, but they are absolutely amazing, all of them.
Yeah, because what we do is we have this closed group on Twitter, and what happens is, like, every week somebody's got something great that they've put out there that we're sharing sharing or retweeting. And every one of these things is just so amazing. And it's like, my God, you did that? That's awesome, you know? And, you know, and it's all topics that we all just loved and enjoy because, you know, it's reliving these simpler times, you know, be it 80s or even further back, because like we have Barry Cinematic in our group that he's always doing stuff that's even further back than the 80s, but it's retro.
Oh yeah.
And just so much good stuff. It is so much good stuff. So shout out to these folks, Return of the 80s. They're at Return of the 80s on Twitter. Real Ouija Midget Reviews, and that's at Real Ouija Midge on Twitter. Old School Evil, and that's at Old _ School _ Evil. And by the way, shout out, he just put out a book. See, Retro Rambler, at Yesterdayville. 80s Grooves, at 80s Grooves on Twitter. Creed Stonegate, and that's at Creed Stonegate. Rediscover the 80s, and they are at RD80s. And then 80s, 90s Tweets. Oh, no, I'm not saying and. There's more here. That's at 80s, 90s Tweets. Pop Rewind, at Pop Rewind Online. Barry Cinematic, and he's at Barry _ Cinematic. And Saturday Morning Cartoons, and that's at Morning with a U Tunes. So MourNing Tunes. All of those cats doing wonderful, awesome stuff. Like I said, I don't know which of those would be, you know, jumping on board for this montage or not montage, this, this topic. But you know, those that do play along, you know, I encourage everybody, you know, just go follow all those cats because they're putting great stuff out there. So now that we've gone through all that, let's get with our topic. Did you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Oh, let's let the host go first.
Which one do I pick first? All right, let's go on the nose. Revenge of the Nerds.
Nice.
The song is One Foot in Front of the Other by Bone Symphony. And the scene is when they find the old house and they start fixing it up to be their fraternity house. So you have all of the nerds working together to clean up this house and make it look better than it was. And the song starts just as they discover this house and, you know, they've rented it or whatever it is that they did. And then they start cleaning and fixing. And then you hear the song. So it's very iconic, for the 1980s and just a great franchise being Revenge of the Nerds. And then this song right there, you know, One Foot in Front of the Other, you know, just the wonderful message of them just, you know, staring at adversity and, you know, just moving forward and doing their own thing. And I loved, you know, that part of the movie where they were kind of making things for themselves, you know, to move forward. And, you know, they got kind of oppressed at school and they were able to say, okay, well, we're going to band together and we're going to do it our way and we don't need anybody else or we don't need anybody's approval. This is our thing. So I loved it.
Yeah.
Did you remember that scene at all or that movie? Well, of course you remember the movie, but I mean, do you remember that kind of that montage area?
You know, it's kind of funny. It's like I said, I took a trip down memory lane. The memory lane, right? Anyway, and I was on YouTube and it was one of the videos that I watched so I can get some ideas. And I had only seen Revenge of the Nerds a couple times. Probably went to the theater to see it. And Curtis Armstrong's character always kind of stood out in almost anything that he did. And he's sitting there and the guy's painting the wall and he's asking him, do you feel anything yet? Is it Tachi? No, yeah. I don't feel a thing. He said they're painting. And he's like, oh, you need another hit. You know, and he's got this blatantly, you know, disrespectful T-shirt on. as he did. And then Robert Carradine and I can't remember the other guy. Anthony Michael Hall, wasn't him. He ended up being a doctor and something elsewhere or something like that.
Actually, ER. Right.
ER, thank you. Yeah, it was one of the hospital dramas. They're in there, and I love the wallpaper that they're using. It's like this blue plaid that looks like somebody's grandpa's pajamas. And they start out really well, you know, putting the paste on, and they're being all neat and tidy. And after a while, they're just throwing the stuff up on the walls and running at it with the wallpaper. And it was a very large undertaking. And they had so many people helping them out. And it was great. It was a fun montage, you know, where you're taking something and you're building it up and making it look nice. And we all like that because it's the finished product. You see something so dreary, and then it's like, we can do this, we can make it work. And then everybody bands together, and then at the end, it looks, it's all painted and respectable and looks very nice. And you all did that, you know, so you have all that pride that you can, you know, be happy with. So, yeah, that's a really cool scene. Yeah, honestly,
that was Anthony Edwards, by the way.
Thank you. I knew it was Anthony somebody. Like that dude that was in that movie that did stuff. So
Homeboy from ER.
I know, Homeboy from ER. Now, I didn't even go that far as it is St. Elsewhere. Jesus. Like, what? But
I'm with you, though. I knew where you were going with that, so.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. So, yeah, so that's a really cool montage to pick. I had a feeling that one of you would get that, so that's why I backed off of that one.
Okay. All right, so what's your which one are you going to tell me about first?
Ah, well, so many. Well, I'm going to start with the first one. I watched this movie so many times that I probably shouldn't even admit it. Definitely a guilty pleasure. It's Michael J. Fox in The Secret of My Success.
Oh, good one.
And it's the Walking on Sunshine is a song. And Gene, his new secretary, comes in, and he's just in the middle of removing his last item of clothing, and he's standing there in his boxers. And she's like, oh, you don't have any clothes on. He's like, I know. I got hot. And it's surprisingly cool now. You know, and he's making that transition, you know, because nobody would give him a job in New York City for nothing. And so his uncle, who just happens to be the CEO of this huge corporation that he works for, lets him into the ground floor. He's in the mail room, and he knows, he sees there's all kinds of chaos going on in the company. Nobody's talking to this person. This department's not talking to that person. And they need to be, but they're not. Like, we just had this conversation before we started, Dave. So it's just like, here he is, and he's bound and determined to create this persona for himself. So he decides, this company's so big, they don't know who works here. So he creates his own, he's his own CEO or director. He's somebody in the company that he's in charge of transportation or something like that. So, and he knows what he's doing because he went to college to do this. So he's changing out of his mailroom clothes, and he's putting his suit on. And now he's going and he's incorporating himself, for lack of a better term, into the corporate world. And he gets to know these people, and he says hi to all the secretaries and the receptionists and everybody. And he's feeling good about himself because he's pretty much pulling the wool over quite a few people's eyes. I know his name was Bradley, but I can't remember because it was the fake name that he was using, Bradley something. But his actual goal is to meet Helen Slater's character, who's this brilliant genius, numbers genius. And he really wants to talk to her and really wants to get to know her. And she doesn't want anything to do with him or anybody else because she's pretty much married to her job. And that's kind of how you had to be if you were an executive in any corporation back in the day. She was probably one of the first. She's probably like a highly educated, probably MIT or whatever one of those colleges, you know, magna cum laude. And the radio's too loudy. Anyway, but so she had to work the 10 times harder than her male counterpart. So she probably had some resentment there. And he wanted to get to know her. So the montage is pretty much him getting his office. He's talking to Jean, his secretary, telling her he needs all of these pencils and whiteboards and this, that, and the other. The guy's coming to put his name tag on his door. And he's going in and he's sitting around in a meeting and collaborating with people and just soaking up the atmosphere, as he says. So Walking on Sunshine pretty much is like the perfect song for that montage, because he is.
Yeah, he actually, his actual job was in the mailroom.
Yeah.
And so he kept, you know, clocking in and doing stuff in the mailroom, but then he had liberties, you know, for his job, like you said, because it was so big that nobody knew what everyone else was doing. So mm-hmm. he could disappear for many hours of the day. And, you know, so he masqueraded as an executive. And the Walking on Sunshine montage, you're right, was him kind of adapting into the executive lifestyle, you know, going to work out in the gym and, you know, just sitting there and being in the executive lounge and, you know, talking to all the secretaries, like you said, you know, and, you know, wearing a suit and just kind of, you know, being, you know, with the bravado, you know, of the, you know, I'm a man with, you know, that I'm in charge of things, you know, and you're right. It was a great song and that was great, you know, feeling for that section of the movie, you know, before things started crumbling apart on them because people started getting wise. But it put a good, you know, for a brief moment, he was kind of making things happen, and it was you know, it was great.
That's actually a line from the movie.
What's that?
Well done. For a brief moment, we actually made things matter.
Yeah. Yep.
What
so,
fun.
Yeah, it was a. Yeah, I love that movie, by the way.
Me too.
Yeah. All right, cool. So my next pick, I'm going to go Real Genius. There's a song called Number One, and it's performed by a gentleman, Chaz Jankel. And I don't think I've ever heard this song anywhere else other than this movie. But the setup is that the main character is normally just a handful. He's like not trying very hard. He's just kind of squeaking by. He's ditching responsibilities. And then along the course of the movie, he gets into a certain degree of trouble and he has to start buckling down and starting to work towards this goal of this laser that they're making.
Mm-hmm.
And the montage is when he starts, you know, he's gotten serious now. And it's like, I've got to put my focus in, put my work in so that I can make this goal that I've had, you know, for this laser. And I think it was, what, 5 megawatt laser or something like that. But, yeah, it was just the, you know, them studying for their finals, them working on this laser project. And you just had various scenes of, you know, that head down focused to get something done, to work towards a goal. That's what that was going on during that montage.
Nice.
So, Did you remember much of Real Genius?
You know, no. Okay. I think I would have seen it once, perhaps. And correct me if I'm wrong. It's got Val Kilmer in it.
Yep.
And because I saw a montage earlier where it was this young kid and he's really super smart. And he tells Val Kilmer's, see, I don't even know if it's the same movie, Val Kilmer's character that there's somebody in their closet.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the movie.
Okay. Okay. See, because it was a different montage. The song was called Falling or something. I don't know.
No, actually, that's the same one.
Is it the same one?
No, no, wait. Falling. I'm trying to remember.
I thought that was the name of the movie.
Oh,
actually.
No. Oh, no, okay. Yeah, so that's this. There's a scene where I'm trying to remember what sequence that was, but is that the one where the kid drops all the paperwork outside and okay. So what's happening in that sequence is the young kid is just kind of getting overwhelmed by everything that's happening at the school because of all the paperwork and not all the paperwork, but all the, being pushed so hard than he's ever had, ever had those kind of challenges because he's always been like the smartest kid, back at his high school or whatever. And now he's in this college environment and he's one of many geniuses. And, they have all these, classes that they're going to that are really challenging. And I remember during the course of that montage, there's actually a sequence where he's like sitting in class and there's like these tape recorders that are set up, and then when he finally gets to class, you get more and more tape recorders, and he finally gets to the one, towards the end of the montage, he gets to class and the teacher is even got his presentation, being on a reel-to-reel tape, and it says something like, it says something on the whiteboard. It says, if you don't understand, please rewind. It was really funny. But that was that montage was the Falling song.
Yeah. Neat. Yeah. It would be something I could probably go back and revisit just because it looks kind of interesting.
It's a fun movie. It is.
Yeah.
So what's your next pick?
Well, I got to stay in my wheelhouse here with my usual picks of movies that I love. And I'm going to have to go with Mannequin.
Okay.
And it's the song's called Do You Dream About Me? And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's where she's helping him with the window dressing.
Yep.
It's either that or they have like a night to themselves and they're doing all these costume changes and everything and she's dresses up like a mobster's mall in one scene. She's got the fur coat on and then they're both fancy like ballroom dancers in one scene, and it's just the movie itself is just so far-fetched that you just can't wait to see what happens next. And then you have throw Hollywood Montrose into the mix, and you just it's just awesome. That's one of the movies that, along with Secret of My Success, that I watched way too many times for, normal human consumption, I guess. I don't know. It was just a fun movie. And the musical montage when he's, sometimes he doesn't believe what's going on, and a lot of times it's just so weird for him to even understand and try and explain it to anybody else. It's just like they think that he's crazy and he thinks he's crazy and I don't know. So a song called You Dream About Me, it's kind of like, yeah, maybe I am dreaming. I don't know. Whatever he's doing, he's having a great time.
Yeah, I remember that montage, and it was, you know, she was, you're right, was helping him with the window. And what was so funny was that that montage seemed to have been all in the same night. And they went through so many different costume changes and so much goofing around. I'm like, how did they ever get that window done?
Yeah, last minute.
Yeah.
And then when they did do it at the last minute, it was totally apropos for what they experienced. You know, because if you remember, the mannequins were all like getting ready for work and they were running and they were half dressed and and things like that. And of course, people are standing outside the window and somebody's drawing, you know, trying to do a sketch of the mannequins and everything. And it's just, you know, it really makes people aware of what's going on in the store, and it makes him popular because she's helping him.
Yeah, because everybody was talking about, you know, the great windows that were at that department store, and then I guess that was getting more customers in the door.
Yes, and the Lustra people were very, very angry about that.
Right. But yeah, I love that montage, actually. I do enjoy that part of the movie where they're just going through so many different crazy, you know, scenarios of, you know, they, you know, like you said, the mob boss kind of a thing going on. And there was even the one where he's like smoking and reading a paper, and then she's showing his, you know, trying to get his attention. You know, and, you know, then, you know, she's like showing her leg off a little bit, and then suddenly she flashes, and then, of course, you know, runs away, and then he, you know, runs quickly after her, as he should.
Well, she's got
it wouldn't have taken me that long.
A diamond bikini on, of course. It's just
took a little bit.
Ignore that. Yeah.
Took him a little bit too long to be chasing her. I would have been, I'm like, no, there's nothing in that paper that's going to be better than that. So.
No. No. Yeah. And you know the guy, I can't remember what his name is, that plays the security with his bulldog Rambo.
Yeah.
Because he was in a lot of the
Police Academy movies.
Academy movies, correct. So just his comedic genius, you know, with the uniform doesn't quite fit, you know, the high water pants with the white socks and the black shoes, and you know, he's sneaking around being all perverted and everything.
What are you saying? That doesn't work? I dress like that every day. That my glasses with the tape in the middle. I don't understand what's wrong with that.
Nothing's wrong with that. Do you know what I noticed? And I'm deviating for a moment because I can't. And I couldn't wait to tell somebody this, but I'm starting to notice a fashion trend with men.
High water pants.
High water pants.
No.
And I am not kidding. And some guy, I don't know if he just intentionally wanted them up his rear end, but they were so tight around the top. So it looked like he could have taken like two more sizes bigger, and it's to show off the socks.
Ah.
This guy had it had a teal top. It was a polo shirt. And he had gray slacks. And they, I kid you not, they were so far up his ankle. I honestly thought he was wearing capris. But then he had like the brown wingtip shoes with teal socks. And I thought, you know, if that lower half of your outfit didn't look so cool, I would think you were like the biggest dork ever. Then I saw another guy, and it was so fascinating. I'm like, usually it's the women that come off with these trends. And they have. I don't know if you've gotten that yet over where you were at. But it's black pants with women. It's like black leggings or black dresses with red shoes. They brought that back. I remember that was kind of a thing back in, you know, the early 2000s. But I thought, man, I got to get some red shoes. I'm not going to be in fashion, you know, before it goes away. But yeah, that's a thing here in Seattle. Guys wearing high water pants and fancy socks so you can see them.
Huh,
okay. I guess.
Yeah.
Unless there's just a lot of people going to the same dry cleaner and the guy sucks. I don't know.
I suppose if you have really nice socks, you want to show them off.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because there's not a whole lot guys can do in corporate America other than the tie and, you know, the lapel, the pocket. What do they call it? A pocket hanky.
I always thought it was like a handkerchief, but I know what you're talking about.
I thought it was a pocket patch or something, I think they call it. And, you know, it's the same color as a tie, or it's the same color as a shirt, or something like that. So, yeah.
I'll stick to my regular sized pants, thank you very much.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. But, you know, just let you know when it starts to happen there. You know?
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, if I invest that much trouble into my socks, then I guess maybe I would be in the same boat, but I don't. So
there you go.
Yeah. All right, so my next pick, going between the two that I had the honorable mention, and I had the one that, which one do I want to go with? Jeez. Let's go Karate Kid.
Okay.
And it's not the song that you're probably thinking of. There was actually the montage scene where they're on their first date. Daniel and Allie. The song is called Feel the Night by Baster Robertson.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a fun sequence, you know, because it's finally something's going right for Daniel. You know, because he's, you know, transplanted there in California, and, you know, he's got school bullies to contend with, and, you know, just not kind of absorbing into the school as well as he had hoped, I assumed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he meets Allie, and they, you know, they hit it off, and, you know, he gets in. Gets her to say yes to go to a date, and then they go to the famous golf and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the song starts, you know, Feel the Night. So it's just a fun sequence, really light song. But, you know, it's got that, you know, start of something new and grand kind of vibe to it, you know,
mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what was imparted in that song.
Cool.
So yeah, I think when you say Karate Kid, I think everybody always thinks of the was it Esposito song?
Couldn't tell you. I may have seen that movie once.
That one, the famous one that, you know, is when he's going through the karate tournament, and going through all his different challenges that he's got with the different one. And I want to say that song is called You're the Best. The artist was Esposito. And usually when people are thinking montage from Karate Kid, that's the first one that comes to mind.
Actually, the training montage comes to mind for me.
Let's see. So, yeah, You're the Best is the name of that song. Joe Esposito. Well, look at that.
Joe Esposito.
Yep.
Nice. I've actually heard of him.
Yep. So, yeah, it's... Like I said, not one of the most well-defined montages from that movie, but it's another montage, you know, nonetheless. It's just a fun sequence.
Right. Well, that's cool.
Yep. All right. So those are my three picks. I'm wondering which one what did I miss that you're going to pick on me about?
I haven't done my third pick yet.
Oh, so is that third pick is going to be the one that you're going to pick on me about?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's hear your third, and then you could pick on me. Okay, good enough.
Okay, sounds great. So anyone who knows me knows my affinity for the amazing John Cryer and his wonderful movie, Hiding Out. Him and Elizabeth Gish are at a skating rink, and she is trying to either reteach him how to skate, or he's slowly remembering how to skate, and he's not very good at it. And the montage is just the two of them getting to know each other. It's their first date together. And he's trying to be cautious and not fall too hard for her, even though she's kind of all in with him because she's underage. Remember, he's 27 and he's gone back to high school to escape the mob. And the song's by Pretty Poison. It's called Catch Me, I'm Falling. And it's very upbeat and 80s and techno and synthetic and like a synth pop kind of song. And it's humorous because he's, you know, he's trying and she's laughing at him and he falls and then she falls and it's just like, it's just too cute. So, and it's, yeah, like I said, one of my favorite movies and one of my favorite scenes in the movie when they're getting to know each other. So.
Yeah, I've yet to see this movie, but I remember you telling us about it before, so.
A lot, I know.
Yeah.
I do kind of go on and on sometimes.
No, I mean, it's great, you know, that we have these movies that, you know, are beloved to us, and in some cases they're, you know, one of those things that we just, you know, we just kind of hang on to because, you know, we came attached to them in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, so probably like me with like Howard the Duck or something, where it's kind of like everybody's like, come on, do we really need to hear about this again? But of course I want to talk about it because, you know, I just, you know, because I love to. So.
And so,
definitely, you know, you know, you bring up something like Hiding Out, you know, I know that's one of your faves, which is great.
Yeah.
So honorable mentions now. The one that I had on my list that I didn't choose was the from Footloose. The song is I'm Free, Heaven Helps a Man. And that's the montage scene when they're prepping the for the prom, senior prom. And so all the seniors are working together to clean up the mill to get it ready. And then that's the song that they're playing as they're working together to get it done.
Nice.
So it's after he had, you know, won his battle against the whatever group it was. I don't know. It's not like school board or something, but, you know, the people that run the town. So.
Yeah, John Lithgow and his henchmen.
Yeah. So after he quoted the Bible back to them, which is another fun scene. So what about you? What's your honorable mention?
Seen that movie in so long. So I've got several.
Okay.
Only because there's people that are out there going, hey, what about this one? But I'll save yours for last.
Okay.
So, let's see. Training montage in Rocky IV.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. That's definitely a good one. He's any training montage in any Rocky movie is going to be epic because you don't always hear, you know, it's the last one where he gets really serious and he's going to go kick some major butt. That's when you hear the going to fly now. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but it's just the other ones are kind of like, yeah, I'm kind of working out. I'm not really doing anything. Okay. I'm down on myself. I need some help. And, you know, he's got somebody working with him this time. He's got whoever it is. But
yeah, that's the Russian one.
Yeah, that's the one where he's in Russia.
Yep.
And he's, you know, working through the snow and all that stuff.
I must break you.
I must break you.
Yeah, Ivan Drago.
Apparently, Ivan Drago. Apparently, Dolph Lundgren is a massive genius.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He even got some kind of engineering degree here in the state of Washington. He went to WSU and got an engineering degree.
There you go.
I know. Like, I'm not doing anything. I need to know how to build stuff. So, yeah, let's go get a degree. Washington sounds like a good place. So that was cool. Neutron Dance. What are the opening sequences of Beverly Hills Cop?
Yeah.
Where he's, you know, hanging on the back of the cigarette truck. He's trying to, you know, bust the guys and not blow his cover. Of course, they already know he's a cop, so it's kind of like one of those things where, like, cue the music! We're gonna do all the crazy shit. So that was, when you said montage, that was the song that popped into my head.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one.
So that's definitely a good one, like you said. I don't know if you're familiar with the movie The Last Dragon.
Love The Last Dragon.
And you know the scene where he's fighting the weird guy with the funny hair.
Show enough.
And the song is, you show enough. You are the last dragon.
You are the last dragon. You passed the test.
Yeah.
Take test that's something. Blah blah blah. Yeah, it was awesome. Definitely.
And he's got awesome the power glove.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, kind of. And I liked it for the Bruce Lee scenes.
Yeah.
I massively love Bruce Lee. So when he's, you know, recreating the windmill arms that Bruce Lee did, and then Bruce Lee had the power of the glow with his nunchucks, and he's just like, you know, when he first, all I kept thinking about it when he's doing, I was like, you know, that has to hurt, because those things aren't just gently going around your waist. If you see the force of when he's flipping these, that's got to leave some bruises, maybe even a broken rib or two. So he probably had to really, you know, build himself up for that.
Yeah.
The pain that was to ensue with the nunchucks. So, I watched the movie a few times with my son. He's a young, impressionable boy at the time and thought, you know, probably that he wanted to be the last dragon. So,
you can't go wrong with a cheesy karate movie. And that one definitely is it. It is a wonderful, wonderful movie. Wonderfully fun movie. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I love that montage.
I think it was, wasn't it produced by Motown? Somebody produced it in Motown.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think the Temptations were the ones that were singing that song. It sounded awfully familiar. I'll have to go back and do some research. But, you know, if you people leave reviews, feel free to tell me I'm wrong. And then the last song for Dave. Specifically for Dave, even though I haven't seen this movie in so long, probably the first time it came out, and I thought to myself, oh my god, Nicolas Cage looks hot! Jeez! Look at those guns! Dude! Why haven't I seen this movie more often?
Nicolas Cage?
Valley Girl.
Oh my god.
Felt with you montage.
Yes.
Where he's getting to know the little girl.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Kissing and stuff. And he comes to pick her up at her mommy and daddy's restaurant.
Yep. Yep.
And they're all just kind of hanging out. And you see in the montage during Melt With You by Modern English, you know, you see Winchell's Donuts and then you see the Chinese restaurant, you know, looking up in the sky and you can see all these different references. So I'm like, I get it. You're in Encino. Get over yourself. So, yeah. And it was like, man, I don't want to take this because I know Dave's going to, that's his, thing. That's like Valley Girl is like his movie. I can't do that to him. I'll make it an honorable mention, and that way if he doesn't bring it up, I can hit him with it like a bat.
Yeah, that was definitely a...
Louis the Slugger.
It's like, which one should I have not talked about, you know, in order to make room for that one? Huh.
It could have been, I had like four honorable mentions? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's a good call. That definitely should have been on my list.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, no, it's all good. It's all good. We know each other.
Yes, and it's also an homage to you as the Overlord, because I remembered that's one of your favorite movies.
So. Yep. Well, it's surprising. Now I'm trying to think, maybe there should have been a montage in Streets of Fire that we should have talked about.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, probably. I'm trying to think. I can hear the song, actually. But, I hear the song. Probably concert footage or something. I don't know. That's a tough one because there's just a whole lot of fucking singing going on in that movie.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of. But I'm just, you know, if you have like a, you know, something else is going on rather than them performing, you know. And that's kind of what I dub as a montage scene. You know, you're piecing together some sort of action sequences of other things going on than, you know, somebody performing.
Right, and that's a tough one, because I believe the majority of the songs that were on the soundtrack were done in the movie. So it would have had to been something extra.
Right. Kind of like the in the Breakfast Club, the scene where everybody starts dancing and they're getting along together.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great montage.
It is a very great montage.
Yeah. All right. So, God, a lot of great choices there. A lot of great things that we talked about. A lot of great memories with these movies.
A lot more than I thought there would be.
Yeah, I think if Scott was on here, we would have had a lot more.
We would have had some doozies. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting. Hopefully he'll enlighten us as to what his picks were going to be. That'd be interesting to hear.
Yeah, and then maybe we could do a part two.
Maybe.
Do one for the 90s.
Huh, 90s.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what movie montages I'm thinking of like 90s movies that I'm like really familiar with, like Goodfellas and Jurassic Park, and I'm like, none of those movies had montages.
I just thought of one.
What?
And it wasn't the 90s.
Oh, one that we're missing?
No, just one because of the conversation that we had yesterday.
Okay.
About three hated retro movies.
Oh, okay.
The Godfather was thrown in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw one today and I thought, ooh, this will be a good one to add. The baptism scene. And The Godfather, when Al Pacino's son getting baptized.
And what song was that?
It was some kind of symphony something. But it was considered a montage because of all of the things that were happening while the baby was being baptized. And Al Pacino's character, was it Michael?
Yeah.
I've only seen it a couple times. Confesses that he renounces Satan. It's just like the priest is talking to him. He's like, yes, I renounce Satan. And then all of his dealings. And here his henchmen are out just knocking people off left and right, going into their hotel rooms and blowing them away with their hookers. And then there's like this guy's getting a massage and he gets shot through the eye. And then this other guy's in the restaurant. You know, they like killing people in restaurants for some reason. But I thought, man, that's got to be like 70s. Easy, but it wasn't like your typical, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't your typical montage.
Yeah.
It was just things that are being put together.
Yeah, that was to 72
explain what's going on.
Yeah,
other than what you're actually seeing. which I thought was really excellent. So.
Yeah, that's that surprises me. The conversation that was going on Twitter, you know, the most retro, what was it, retro hated movies.
Yeah.
And there were some interesting answers that I would not have thought would come out, you know, like Goodfellas, for instance. I was like, are you serious?
Yeah, some people can't handle it. That was a lot of killing.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, I saw Goodfellas once. Once. And it was, there's a lot of death and swearing and just all kinds of crap going on. And I didn't think I wanted to see it again, but I watched it. I sat through it the first time because I was interested in the people who play the character.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was the draw there. My choices, however, are purely on just not being, starting a movie and not being able to finish it because of the content that continued to erupt. I am not a huge Scarface fan. I don't, you know?
Yeah.
For my own reason, for my own personal reason. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. Obviously, it's not, because there's millions of people out there that swear by it. Cinematically, is the story being told, and I think it might even be some of it's true. I'm not sure. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm just not a fan of it. I think hated is a little strong, but dislike kind of works. Pretty Woman, I would probably watch Scarface again before I'd watch Pretty Woman. Only because, and this is going to sound very prudy and I'll give a shit, you're glorifying prostitution. And it's some sick person's idea that some rich bastard's going to come along and be just the man you need to get you out of your squalor, and they need to fucking live happily ever after. That's like the biggest line of bullshit ever. That's like any woman. That's on the, I'm sorry, it's just on the edge of every girl could grow up to be a princess. Really? Of what? What country is she going to be a princess of? Stop telling people that. You know, it's just like, it's not worth it. Just be your own self. You know, you be your own princess. You don't have to be a princess to impress people. And if you want to just go around telling people what to do because you're a bitch, don't add the word princess or queen in front of it, because you're a bitch. That's the only reason to explain that. You know?
Wow.
Sorry, a little heated about certain things. I can't even remember what the other one was.
No, it's just so funny. I'm sitting here going, wow, because it's one of my wife's favorite movie.
I'm sure it is.
And to hear your perspective of this, it's just like, wow, because, you know, it's a beloved movie in the house, you know, and... You know, well, not, you know, watching, we don't watch it in front of the kids, obviously, but I mean, if she's like scrolling through and it's on, you know, she'll stop, yeah. You know, and see where it's at with that. So I've, by proxy, you know, seen it probably more than I intended to. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a fun movie. But, you know, to hear your perspective of it, it's like, wow, maybe I shouldn't be liking it.
You like whatever you want.
Yeah,
just because I'm cynical and tainted doesn't necessarily mean you can stop doing what you like.
It's fun. Cool. I think it's great that we have these different perspectives and approaches to looking at these things, and then that's why, you know, I was talking about when we're, you know, this topic around Scarface and Goodfellas, you know, and mm-hmm. how I was like defending the movies on Twitter. And
yeah.
That's why, well, I almost want to have those other people on, just so that we can have a counterpoint conversation, you know, around, you know, what is it about these movies that are missing the mark? And it's kind of like you with Pretty Woman. It, mm-hmm. you know, it's a great perspective, you know, because it's different. And so mm-hmm. I definitely want to hear it. So that's great. While we may not agree, But at least, yeah. You know, it's always nice to, you know, have a different viewpoint.
Yes. It makes the world go round.
Yep. And we could talk about it, because that's what we do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people like Scott could hate Eddie Vedder. You know, it's just one of those things, you know. You can...
Well, my baby's in love with Eddie Vedder. I think he's fitting him a sweater. Yeah. Poor Eddie. He gets a lot of flack.
Yeah.
He's just angsty and angry. He's probably got, like, irritable bowel syndrome or something. You never know.
The kid's talented. Give him that.
Very much. He sings way better than I do, so I'm not saying anything there. Yeah. It's just angry. It's an angry dude.
All right, so anything else on the montage topic?
No, I think I've covered enough stuff.
We're good. Okay. Yeah. And there's going to be, like, you know, hundreds of them that we're going to not, you know, obviously be talking about. So it's...
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's this could go on for a long time.
yeah.
Because even, you know, I started to compile a list where I thought, well, maybe I'll have one from 70s, one from 80s, one from 90s. But mm-hmm. everything I was thinking of was coming right out of the 80s. So I was like, oh, I'll just stick with the 80s. So
stick with the good old 80s.
Yeah. All right, so, you know, as we like to remind everybody at the end of these shows is that we have a website, and it's called BonsaiRetroClub.com. That's BANZAI, Retro Club. Hopefully you can spell that part. And on the website, there is the ability to leave us a voicemail. We encourage you to do that. We haven't gotten one of those in a little while, so those of you that want to give input into this topic or maybe even suggest other topics for us to cover, go to the website, leave us a voicemail, and we'd love to be able to play that and comment on it. We also have email connection on there, so if you want to drop any of the hosts a email, go to the Contact Us page, or if you just want to send a group email, that's McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com. And then that'll get to all of us, and, you know, much like the voicemail, we would... be commenting and talking about that on a future episode. The other thing that's on the website are links to all of our social media stuff. So Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, things like that. The Instagram I've been actually gotten a lot better at. So there's something to see there if you go to the Bonsai Retro Club Instagram page. What I've been doing recently is posting various iconic things from the that's referenced in the Ready Player One book.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been having fun with doing that. So the other thing that we have on the website is this thing called Patreon, and that's the ability to give us a little something something to help us keep the website up and keep the podcast hosting fees. So if you are so inclined and you are feeling generous and you want to throw in a little something to help us keep things running, we would appreciate it. Not required, but it would be nice. So wouldn't you just like to be just a little bit nicer? So that's out there on the same page, Patreon. Another thing that we would like you to do is do this thing called a review. And we've talked about this many a times. I've even gone so far as to threaten that we're going to be doing a Michael Bolton episode if we don't get more of those. But Rose, you got anything to add on that topic?
Yeah, I think people need to just really focus on the fact that we do this every week, and there's a lot of people that are in our shoes. Some of them are professionals, some of them are amateurs, semi-pros, whatever you want to call them, that do podcasts, and they have all this information that they put in the airwaves, and it's for your entertainment. We're not trying to change the world, or maybe we are. I don't know. Maybe change it for the better. And if you think that's a good idea and you want to listen to something that's positive and puts a different spin on what's going on in the world around us, you know, get on iTunes and subscribe to our podcast and listen to our podcast, because we're all over the place. We start out in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, but we always end up in some other decade that we didn't even fathom we knew anything about. So I have more of an advantage than the guys, because I've been around a lot longer. So I remember a few things from the 60s and rumors from the 50s. But, you know, it would be nice to hear what you think of us. Not because we're like conceited or narcissistic or anything. We want to keep you entertained. We want to keep you in the know. And knowing what you like and what you're looking for really helps. So get in there and hit that review button and grab your iPhone or your iPad or whatever it is Apple's making these days to get you through. And there's something nice or not so nice. And we'll read your comments on the air. We've done that a few times here in the last couple shows, and it worked out really well, because I'm like, oh, there's somebody that doesn't know us that likes our show. That's so cool. And the Michael Bolton thing is real, just so you know. I'm sounding like I'm a nice person, but I can get worse than Michael Bolton.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you all remember Tiny Tim or not, but he's definitely a product of the 70s, and I may have to dredge up some of his old hits. Granted, it was all two of them, but he had quite the persona. So Google that bad boy and be very afraid. That's all I'm saying.
Very well said. And you know, just what people may not understand is probably the reason, a big reason we ask for reviews, is, and like you said, it's not, you know, because we want to get our heads, you know, so big that, you know, we can't walk through, you know, the door.
No.
That's not it at all. I mean, it'd be really great to hear those kind of, you know, the comments and feedback and get all that stuff. And all that's very important to us. But what happens is the more reviews a podcast gets, when other people are looking up for podcasts to listen to, and they do keyword searches, in this case, let's say retro or 80s, and then depending on how many reviews is where a podcast lands on, you know, the list. So if somebody does a keyword search for retro and we, you know, if there's somebody that's got anything more than, you know, the 17 reviews that we have now, they get listed first.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And they may suck.
Exactly. They just have, you know, people that they, you know, that maybe they're better at grabbing people's phones and getting reviews written for themselves than I am.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about the time I was looking on, and this was years ago when I first got an Apple account and I was first using iTunes, and I was listening to Celebrity Playlist or whatever the hell they called it. And I was just getting in it because I kept hearing the buzzword podcast. And the Nerdist was like the podcast that everybody listened to. And that and the Celebrity Playlist. And I thought, you know, I want to hear something that I like. So I went on iTunes and searched for 80s music podcasts or just 80s anything podcast. You know how many I found?
What?
None? If I found something, I actually found five. Four of them had been, I don't know how you discontinued, or they don't make them anymore, or, you know, at some point you couldn't even listen to their old stuff.
Right.
But their name was still filtered through the system as the in the search engine. I found one podcast, and it was, I want to say it was Soda Jerker. And I listened to the podcast and I was so enamored up until the very last thing that they said. Well, thank you everyone for a wonderful run. This is our last episode. And I'm like, what? Why? You guys are so good. What happened? I was so despondent, but they've recently come back and they do like special iconic special podcasts now with like old band members from like Journey and stuff like that. But I'm just giving that as an example. I don't know if they did. But you know, they'll do stuff like that. It's just specific type of podcast. They do interviews now. Right. Which is kind of cool. But I was just like, why isn't there anything out there for 80s? What do you guys hate about the 80s? And I had just started doing 80s Music Girl on my Twitter page. And I was just like, come on. There's got to be other people out there that want to do this. So when you approached me about, you know, being on, I was like, yes! Can we do it now? Let's get this bad boy going. We'll be the first 80s podcast ever that lasted longer than a year. You know, I was dedicated. And honestly, this is kind of why I love doing the show. Because I know what the hell I'm talking about. Not always specifically, but there's a lot of times when I know what the hell I'm talking about. So thank you everybody for listening, and get those reviews in there and make us popular.
Yeah, as great as the background there, background story. It's so tough when you're like trying to find that right formula, you know, when you're listening to podcasts, of something that you enjoy listening to the people. And then you enjoy the topic, because there's, you know, ones that I subscribe to that I don't listen to every one of them, but you've got to give me the a topic that I'm, you know, there's something, you know, something there that I'm interested in.
Yep.
And luckily, you know, there's a lot of, you know, people that we collaborate with that are doing great topics, you know, and they. Yep. You know, they have a lot of fun things that they're talking about, so it's making it easier. But, you know, I found them because they found us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if I was looking for them, you know, individually, you know, through everything that's on iTunes, how easy it would have been to find them. I've subsequently, you know, I've written reviews for those cats because they're cool, you know, because I know that that helps them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So at the end of the shows, we like to remind everybody to be excellent to each other. And since we have no idea when you're going to be listening to this, have a good whatever. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Alrighty.
Awesome.
So that was... That's actually a great topic, and I'm kind of bummed out that Scott wasn't on, because I know it was his topic idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah.
I hope he's not coming down with anything. Yeah. And I know I said something last week when was the last time you and I had a, was it the week before last? It was a week before last when we had a podcast that we did together.
Yeah, we did Pee-wee's last week.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I think I put a statement in there. I said, you know, that now that Scott's out of the way, I didn't really mean it like that. You know, that statement's like haunted me like all week. I'm just like, oh my god, I hope that doesn't go into the podcast, because it's gonna sound like I'm just trying to get rid of me. But, you know, he always has such really good ideas, and I always feel like, I don't know. I don't want to say anything I say is not going to matter, but it's like you don't need it. He just said it, you know, kind of a thing. You know what I'm saying? Does that make any sense? Am I rambling?
Yeah, I'm rambling. I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to catch what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you got a good idea. It's like, okay, what's in a good idea for, you know, another show? And he immediately comes up with movie montages.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yep, well, there you go. That's it. You don't need anything else. That's the perfect subject. You know, it's like reinventing the wheel or something. I don't know. He just has so many really good ideas and amazing stories and stuff, so.
That he does.
Yeah.
That'll be so better. He's had quite the... quite the life.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, so he's a lucky dude.
Yeah. And now...
I'm glad that he knows that, though.
Yes. And now they're getting their own time zone, so that's even more special.
Their own time zone.
That sounded sarcastic, didn't it? That sounds sarcastic.
Okay. That's Florida. That's Florida, though.
Yeah, it is.
You know what they should probably call it, though?
Huh?
The Disney time zone. Put mouse ears on that motherfucker.
I'm Disney, bitch.
This is Disney World. We got our own time zone.
Oh, fuck y'all. I was watching SNL because I always watch all these SNL. I won't subscribe to the YouTube channel because I know it's just going to inundate me with a bunch of shit that I want to see, but every so often I'll pick through something that's really good, and it was an episode that had Miley Cyrus on it, and her and Kenan Thompson were doing Disney, how to audition for a Disney kid show. And Kenan Thompson was Raven Simone, and of course Miley Cyrus was Hannah Montana. So they're like giving all these people audition tips, you know, to get on the Disney show. And he's like, anybody can just learn these three tips. Like they went to some kind of seminar or something. And she asked the guy, she says, what are you auditioning for? He goes, Wizards of Waverly. And she goes, well, with Wizards of Waverly, you have to talk really loud. Everybody in the cast just shouts at each other. And it's great because you don't know who's talking and who's not talking. And I'm just dying because they just like totally nailed the bizarreness that is Disney television. You know, with these ridiculously overplayed, overacted sitcoms that they have on their channel. It's just awful. Just the acting in it is atrocious.
Yeah, I've
and to make it seem as though it's intentional, that just adds to the hilarity.
Yeah, there's many of Disney like shows that I passed by that my kids were watching, and I'd be like, you know, standing there for a few minutes, and I'm just like, seriously, how can you watch this?
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, I mean, because, you know, it's family programming, so it's like, well, I mean, it could be worse, so I might as well let them watch it, so.
True. And sometimes it does get pretty bad.
Yeah.
I know.
And to me, though, the end-all, be-all, worst one of them all was SpongeBob, though. I don't get that. Cartoon.
It's a Cartoon Network thing, darling.
I don't get that.
That's Nickelodeon. Yeah, I know you don't get it. It's okay. No. I heard ya. Those of us who like SpongeBob get it.
I'm anti-SpongeBob. Anyway. Well, you know, that's the way it is. All right, I think I gotta roll.
Roll it. Okay. You take care of yourself.
All right. We'll talk next week.
Job interviews. Huh?
All right.
All right, hon.
Bye. Night.
Bye. Night.